Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Please be seated. A few announcements for everybody this morning. One that's glad to see that some of you were able to make it through the early snow this morning, so that's very good. And that this week we hope to return back to our normal Mass schedule for the weekend, and that we are very thankful for your understanding and patience over the last couple weekends as we had to obviously readjust and reconfigure the schedule with so much sickness going around. With that in mind, please do continue to pray for all our sick, not just here at St. Hugh, but all over the all of the different places, as it is seeming to be quite an active winter flu sickness season, especially this year. And most especially, if you would pray for the repose of the soul of Virginia Kramer. She just passed away just as we were about to start Mass this morning. She was well fortified with all of the sacraments and all of the last rites, she died a very good and holy death. But if we could all kneel down now, we'll say a prayer for the repose of her soul. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. May she rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Announcements will be upcoming regarding her funeral and wake and things as we figure out exactly when that will be. The epistle for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you, having peace with all men, revenging not yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See, thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded, for testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast of Saint Raymond of Penfort. And a man in Saint Raymond, he is an example of one who did much good to overcome evil. And it had him wear various different hats throughout his life, various different occupations that he had to have. In the beginning, he became a canon and was educated and so intelligent that he was raised up, achieved his doctorate, began to teach, became a great professor. Many people came from far and wide to study under him. And he became soon quite famous for his lectures and his intelligence and all that he could provide to people in this way. Yet he realized that in doing this, he had only really begun in the way of serving God. Instead, he sought after more souls for heaven. And so he left all of that behind in an instant. At 44 years old, he turned away from the academic world and the institutes of higher education to leave everything and become a Dominican friar. For us, we look at the Dominican order, or the mendicant orders as the general name for them, like the that had that mix of contemplative and active life, like the Franciscans as well. We look at them now and we see these great orders of history with many a saint in them. But at those beginning times, they were looked down upon in the church. They were this strange new creature. And it was bizarre because they were poor and begged for what they needed. And for a man of such great intellect and such great renown to embrace this lifestyle all of a sudden was very strange. Yet it is exactly what Raymond knew God called him to. And so he did so with all the fervor of his heart. And he began to do great things in a much larger scale for the church. He found now that the Pope wanted him by his side. He needed him as an advisor for him in affairs of the church as a whole. And he made him the Grand Inquisitor as well to find out who is subverting the souls of the church and who are truly to be innocent of any charges. After a period of time doing this, Our Lady appears to Raymond, Our Lady of Mercy. She calls him to assist a couple of other men in a great task, St. Peter of Nolasco and James, King of Aragon. They are to go forth and to ransom the captives of the Muslims. They are to give of themselves in any way possible in order to save Christians from the torments and tortures and temptation of apostasy, in order that they may gain their freedom, their souls, and potentially make converts in the process. Again, St. Raymond embarked in this with all of his being, giving of himself in so many ways in this work, until finally it became clear he had to leave again, because he was there with James, King of Aragon, on Majorca. And while James was a very pious and good man and a good king, he was still a man of faults, and he allowed his dominant passions to dictate his actions at times. Raymond tried to correct him, tried to advise him in the ways to overcome this, but James didn't want anything to do with that. He was too torn between the two worlds of his own selfishness and the serving of God as Our Lady called them to. And so in the end, Raymond said, "We can't work together then. I need to leave." James wouldn't let him go. Told him he has to stay. "Right here on the island of Majorca, you must remain, and you do not have my permission to leave." Raymond wasn't moved by this in the least. Instead, he went down to the water's edge, and he took off his own cloak, and he laid it upon the water, and he took a stick and propped up the front end of it, and he stood upon the cloak. And before everybody else to see, the cloak floated with him upon it, and he took off under the power of wind, as if it were a sailboat there on the water. He was carried from Majorca all the way back to Barcelona in Spain, a distance of about 185 miles or so. And it said that he arrived 6 hours later. One of the most entertaining things was, years ago, Father Larrabee talked about this to the children. And the miracle is incredible, to think of a man standing on his own cape going across the entire Mediterranean Sea to reach land far away and be miraculously saved. But Father Larrabee wasn't so impressed by that, because what he told the children was that he did the math and figured out that it was only going 31 miles an hour, and that wasn't near as impressive as it could have been, despite the fact that there was nothing that went 31 miles an hour at that time, and everybody watched this man surfing across the ocean. But that is neither here nor there. In reality, it was a great miracle, so great that despite Father Larrabee not being so impressed, James was. He saw it, and he knew right away that he had offended God by his actions, and he was truly remorseful for the sins that he had committed, truly remorseful for allowing his passions to control him in that fashion, and he therefore repented. And from that point forward, not only lived an extraordinarily exemplary life, but was a great devotee of Raymond of Penafort and supported him in all that he did. The next hat for Raymond was to be Master General of the Dominican Order, which he did for a short while before claiming that his age no longer allowed him to do it as well as he could, stepping aside for another younger, more able-bodied person. Instead, he returned back out to work amongst the Muslims, and in the end of his life, he had the claim of over 10,000 converts from these infidels. Raymond of Penafort knew that at times it was the sweetness that attracted people to the faith. He knew at times it was the walking away from one task to do another that was the greater action. Sometimes he knew that the most prudent thing is to remove himself, while at other times it was better for him to correct and to stand firm and to stand up to what he saw as wrong, to provide correction and to do so in a way that was forceful. All of these different aspects of his life were there to gain so many souls, not just the 10,000 plus Muslims, but think about the people who saw him treat various people on trial as inquisitor with fairness and kindness, and to hear both sides or multiple sides of every story to make a clear and just pronunciation. Think about James and his own personal conversion at the witness of and the correction of so great a man. Think about all of the people in the church who were inspired by his instructions and his teaching and his explanations. All of this was done for one purpose, and one purpose only, for the service of souls and for good to be rendered and evil to be conquered by the good. We have need to do good in order to conquer evil. We always have. But we have that need more so now than perhaps other times in our lives. Last night, after having visited Virginia Kramer and having done all of the prayers for the dying and giving her blessing and everything like that, I headed up to see one of our other parishioners, Ken Martin, up in Sheboygan, who's in the hospital there. And I was turned away, not allowed admittance, not allowed to go in to administer sacraments or to give blessing or to give comfort in the least to his soul. It wasn't the first time that this was done to me. We've been at this for 2 years, after all. But it is 2 years later. And for it to continue is something that is abhorrent. And so I made sure that they knew about it, up to the point that I had to have the police escort me outside of the building, because they needed to hear, if not from me, then somebody, that what they are doing for the last 2 years is killing people, and that what they're doing has nothing to do with anything in the way of service of people or goodness or anything at all. Because right before I asked to get in, there's a woman there right in front of me. She was there with a mental health service because somebody in the same wing, just a couple of doors down from Ken, was having a crisis in which they were depressed or something. I didn't ask questions, but there was no question. She could come in from the outside. She could provide this service. But the spiritual good, that doesn't count as anything. And no, don't you know, they're not allowed visitors whatsoever. We have to fight against this. We've told you from the beginning, it is not merely a battle of politics. It is a spiritual battle, and they are the enemies of the church. Those people on the ground, the average person there doesn't recognize it as such, but it is the same common enemy that we have fought for 2,000 years. Those who hate God and the truth and the salvation of souls, those who serve Satan and hell. It is our duty to take stands when we see it to be prudent and when we see it to be necessary, to have courage at times in the face of adversity so that somebody's voice is heard, somebody makes known that these things aren't right. And it is most important that our duty is fulfilled upon our knees. That not every day we have to go around yelling at people because one thing or another, take that hand sanitizer off the wall, that's ridiculous. Don't be silly. But to recognize that everybody can battle with our prayers and continue to do so in all earnestness for its success. Today there's a march that takes place in Washington, D.C., a march to end all of the mandates, a march to call for common sense in the practice of medicine, a march for honesty as to where all of this has come from and who the culprits are for enforcing this upon our population. We see these marches oftentimes as good in a sense and encouraging, but largely they don't bear a large amount of fruit. But what if they're supported by our prayers? We're where we can do the most good. We're here at Mass, at the sacrifice, where Christ himself comes down upon the altar. We're here to adore the one true God who has power over all things in life, and who, as the epistle tells us, will have revenge unto himself. These are his enemies. Let us call upon him and trust in him to aid us in the conquering of them. But it takes that effort. He needs to see the faithful move, to act, to speak up, to pray, to do each and every one of our parts. One voice is only one voice, but one voice can draw in another. One action can inspire and cause another to think. And one prayer can do more good than we can ever think of. Remember these things as we look to see how we put our faith into action in this world. We want to find out where the real problems lay. They don't lay in the areas of academia. They don't lay in the controversies of the internet. They don't lay in the areas of sports or news or politics. No. The real action must take place when we see true evil and we, the doers of good, we must find the way to conquer. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.